Hello, and welcome to the Mosaic Portland podcast. Mosaic exists to follow Jesus in authentic community for the world. We come together on Sunday as one church in two locations in Northeast Portland and North Portland. Come join us at one of our gatherings. For times, how to find us, and more information, visit our website at www.mosaicportland.org. We look forward to worshiping with you. Here's this week's talk.
Luke 2, verses 4 through 17. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left him and had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. The word of the Lord. It's only 4 days till Christmas, guys. I don't know if you're tracking that event at all. For me, that means time to go shopping, time to start shopping, actually, which is okay. But Christmas is about a lot of things, in our culture. But what it's about for us as those who follow Jesus is his birth. We call it Advent. We celebrate the arrival of Jesus. That's what Advent means. And during this season, our Sunday talks have focused on the birth announcement to the shepherds. We've been looking at Luke chapter 2, verse 10, and it's going to be on the screen behind me, but this is what it says. Listen, it says, "The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.'" We've broken down those three phrases: good news, great joy, and all people. We talked about good news a couple of weeks ago. Last week we talked about great joy, and tonight we're talking about all the people. All the people. Now, that sounds pretty straightforward, the phrase "all the people." Yet this phrase stretches us in ways that perhaps the others don't. Because what it does is it stretches the limits of God's love, the limits that we put on God's love. Some of us read that phrase, "all the people," or "all people," and our first thought is to add the phrase to the end of it, "but not me." All the people, but not me. Others feel how divided we are in our culture these days on things like race and religion and politics. And we have this sense that it's only going to get worse as the election cycle approaches. And we have this idea that when we read "all people," we read "all people" and translated "all the people who are like me." But what we'll see today, and as we look at God's word and open up this idea of all the people, is that God's view of all the people may be very different than our own. His idea of inclusion includes the ones that you and I don't. God offers good news and great joy to everyone who will receive Jesus through faith. His love is bigger than we think it is. It's closer than we may believe, and it's also further away. It reaches further than ours does. So let's look at three people God specifically includes when the angel announces that Jesus is good news of great joy for all the people. Three different people. The first is you. All the people includes you. At some point in our lives, we've all been that kid who didn't get invited to the party. It hurts to be left out. Some of us feel that way often. Like most of the time, we're on the outside looking in. When the shepherds heard the angels say, all the people, they would have seen themselves as part of that because to them, all people meant Jews. But even though they were Jewish, even though they were Israelites, they wouldn't have necessarily seen themselves as being included in that in a personal way. They were just shepherds. They were low on the social pecking order. They worked out on the margin of society. Israel's Messiah would not be hanging out in their neighborhood. If anything, the Messiah would be hanging out with the elites, the royals, the religious superstars. And then the Messiah shows up in their neighborhood. And they're invited by the angels to come and see the baby for themselves. The lowly shepherds become insiders and hurry off to Bethlehem to see Jesus and Joseph and Mary. Do you know the difference between a participation trophy and a real trophy? You know the difference, right? A real trophy you get when you accomplish something, when you win, when you distinguish yourself as the best at something. You get a participation trophy, though, when you show up. You can be horrible at basketball. You can be awful, right? You can be a terrible teammate. You can be the one that when you come on the floor, nobody wants to play with you because you don't know the plays and you're selfish with the play, and still get a participation trophy. When the shepherds heard the angels say, all people, it was like getting a participation trophy, which is not bad. It's not bad. Our Messiah has come for us, for our nation. We're associated with that. But when they were invited to visit Jesus, when they were invited to see Israel's Savior, Messiah, and Lord, they were actually set apart as winners. Because God's story and their story were intersecting in a most personal way. I was in my mid-20s when this happened to me. I had been a Christian for years. Since I was a little boy, I was a Christian, and I'd followed Jesus. I knew that Jesus had forgiven my sins. I knew that he was the king of my life. I was actually a youth pastor at the time. But in my mind, I always thought that God was happier with people who had their act together spiritually than those who didn't. So I worked very hard to keep my act together. Then I went to a conference with a bunch of other pastors. And if that sounds weird to you, a bunch of pastors hanging out together at a conference, it is. It's weird. But there was a guy there, a speaker. His name was Brennan Manning. He was a former Catholic priest. And I heard Brennan Manning say something at that conference that I'll never forget. He said, the heart of being a Christian is accepting the fact that God accepts you as you are. Not who I think I should be. Not me at my best. Me at my worst. When I try to make myself look good for other people. When I stare at an advertisement of a woman with very little clothing on. When I don't follow through on a commitment. God's love for me doesn't waver in those moments. He doesn't temporarily exclude me until I get my crap together. His love for me is constant, and that love has changed my life. He loves me at my best, and he loves me at my worst. And much of my journey since hearing that former Catholic priest share that. Much of my journey has been learning to sit in Jesus' love. See, God's inclusion is deeply personal, just like it was for those shepherds who got to see that baby Messiah. Maybe you believe in Jesus, but you feel like what you have is a participation trophy. Maybe you feel like, yeah, I'm a believer, but I don't feel his love the way that some other people seem to. And maybe you even wonder sometimes and you scratch your head a little bit and you think, man, am I really included in that? God had you and me on his heart and on his mind the night that Jesus was born and the angels scared the shepherds. If it's hard for you to feel this, if it's hard for you to believe this, imagine that you're one of those shepherds. You're sitting against a rock in a field on a chilly Bethlehem night. You're keeping your eye on your sheep. You're sort of dozing off and waking up and dozing off. And then all of a sudden, you're surrounded by bright lights and you are freaked out. But an angel says to you, don't be afraid. Don't be scared. I have good news for you. Go to Bethlehem and see your baby Messiah. Hear God saying to you, I love you as you are. I've come to your neighborhood. You're included. God's love is closer than we think it is. It actually includes each and every one of us. But the second person that God's love includes is people from every part of the globe. People from the farthest reaches of our planet. Because the shepherds that night heard all Jews when they heard all the people, they weren't thinking about Gentiles. They weren't thinking about people who weren't like them. Like us, their idea of all the people really needed to be stretched. And as the story of Jesus unfolds, it becomes clear that God's circle of inclusion was much bigger than just Israel and much bigger than just Jewish people. Luke, who's the author of the story that we're looking at, also wrote the book of Acts. And many scholars believe that Luke sat down and when he wrote Luke and Acts, he actually wrote them as two volumes of the same book. So many scholars refer to Luke and Acts as one book, and they just say it's Luke Acts. And if we look at Luke Acts, and we jump from chapter 2, verse 10, which we read earlier, and we jump to the first chapter of Acts, we can actually see just how wide God's circle of inclusion is. Look at Acts 1, 8. It's going to be on the screen behind me. Acts 1, 8. It says, but you will receive power. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus' global message of joy is truly for all people, to the very ends of the earth. What this means is that Jesus is good news for the people of our world. This may seem obvious to some of us. When we think about those people who are obviously in need in our world, we think about Syrian refugees. We think of people in Haiti, the poorest of the poor, who have little access to health care or clean water. If Jesus is good news for anyone, he must certainly be good news for the most vulnerable people on our planet. But here's what's less obvious. God offers great joy to those who have actually excluded him from their lives. Iraqi terrorists, intellectual European atheists, Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims. When Jesus said that his disciples would be witnesses to the ends of the earth, it even included those who would reject him. One place where many people have rejected Jesus is Kosovo. Mosaic, we have two families who have given their lives to serving and living in Kosovo and bringing the light of Jesus, the Holcombs and the Ramses. They live in a city of Jalan, and to give you an idea of how many people have rejected Jesus, Jalan is a city of 90,000 people. And I asked Doug yesterday via Facebook, I said, hey, how many followers of Jesus are in Jalan? And he said, about 30. 30 followers of Jesus out of 90,000 people, most of whom are Muslim. But in the last number of months, we've heard stories of 6 people coming to faith in Jesus Christ in Kosovo. Acts 1:8 is happening there. It's happening in Jilan. It's a story that's been unfolding throughout the history of the church. People at the ends of the earth, even those who've rejected him, are coming to follow Jesus. God is at work everywhere. The global church is literally a sea of faces that look different, colorful, and that's exactly the way God wants it. That's the way he designed it to be. So that covers it, right? That's kind of it. It includes me and it includes everybody to the very ends of the earth. That's who this message of good news, of great joy is for. We're done, right? There's actually one more person that I want us to think about tonight. And that's the people that you don't like. God's message of good news, of great joy, is for the people that you don't like. Acts 1:8 mentions 4 different places. It mentions Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Each of these represents how God's circle widens to include people that we don't. But Samaria is an interesting one. Samaria is significant. You see, the Jews thought that they were better than the people who lived in Samaria. The Jews didn't like Samaritans. Samaritans were a mixed race of people, part Jewish and part other. And because of that, the Jews elevated themselves above the Samaritans. You may or may not be a racist, but chances are there's an individual or a group that you don't like or you don't understand or you flat out think is beneath you. Guess what? God's message of joy is for them too. God wants to stretch each of us, and he wants to stretch our church in this way. He wants us to see others as he sees them, to include those that we dislike when we think of the phrase, all the people. One way that we know that we're broken is that we think we're better than other people. We see certain individuals or groups as outsiders, and we get really uncomfortable when those outsiders become insiders. Yet those we judge, God loves. And when I say that, there's probably very few of us who object to that. Yeah, I love that God loves outsiders. I'm into that. But when God invites a person into relationship with himself, he also invites them into relationship with his church. He invites them into community with us. That's the rub, right? That's the part that's a little bit tougher for us to swallow and accept. I'm on board with God loving people, but I don't want those people hanging out in my life group. I don't want those people coming to my church. There's got to be another church for those people. That kind of church makes Jesus want to puke. It's the opposite of Jesus' vision in Acts 1:8. As a church, we're called to be light. We're called to welcome people. We're called to love people, to be a community where it's safe to be broken, to proclaim the good news that God wants people to experience his joy through faith in Jesus Christ. That good news is for those in our city who believe and behave differently than you do or than I do. For example, the woman next door to you with the political sign in her front yard that you disagree with. The guy who tells you he's an atheist and that he never loses his cool, only to lose his cool when you start to talk to him about Jesus. The message of Jesus is for that guy as well. That actually happened to me. I was in jury duty. I don't know if you've ever been to jury duty before and you've had to sit in that room with all those people and nobody's talking. And I'm talking to this guy who's an atheist. And it's really loud how we're talking. And it was super awkward. the good news of Jesus is for him too. The person in your family who annoys you more than anybody in the universe. Those who say happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas. The gay couple that lives across the street from you. The Muslim student you go to school with. Those who will only ever be here on Christmas Eve because you invited them. Those who view followers of Jesus as aliens and strangers. We're going to be starting a new talk series in January about aliens and strangers. It comes out of the book of 1 Peter. Because the reality is that when we start to follow Jesus, he begins to change us and we start to look different. And it becomes a little bit strange to the people around us. Yet as we study the book of 1 Peter and as we work through that, we're gonna see that God actually uses us as aliens and strangers to influence his world for good. See, God has called Mosaic not just to be a church for us. It's not just for you. It's not just for me. And it's not just a church for people in places like Kosovo or Haiti. It's actually for the thousands in our city who are not experiencing the good news and the great joy that God offers to them through faith in Jesus Christ. One of the ways that we worship and remember the inclusion of our God is by taking communion. We take a piece of bread and we dip it in juice, and every time we do that, we remind ourselves that God doesn't love us at our best, he actually loves us even at our worst. That God loved us while we were yet sinners. And Jesus died for us in that state, in that position. We take the bread and we dip it in the juice, and we remember that Jesus, this child who was born to be a Messiah, grew up. And he lived a perfect life, and he taught things that were unbelievable. And everybody aspired to do, and yet nobody could do it. Nobody could match up to his perfection. And as he ascended and grew in popularity, people wanted him to be their king. They wanted him to be their political leader. That's what they thought he was about. That's the kind of Messiah they thought he was going to be. And then he was arrested and mocked and humiliated and spat upon. And he had the tar beaten out of him. And then he was murdered on a cross. It looked like a total Messiah fail. And yet Jesus' death forgives our sin. There was a great exchange that happened when Jesus died on the cross. He took our sin on himself and he traded and he said, here, you get my righteousness. And guess what? Now you're included in the family. I love you at your worst. I've come to your neighborhood. I've come to be with you. This is the good news. So we're going to celebrate that tonight by taking communion, by singing some songs. If you're a follower of Jesus and you feel like you're an outsider, like all you've got is a participation trophy, come to this table tonight. And as you do, close your eyes and hear God's voice saying to you, I love you, you're mine. If you're not a follower of Jesus and you know you're on the outside looking in, through faith in Christ, you can be a part of the family as well by asking Jesus to forgive your sins, to be the Lord of your life. He will do that. And you're invited to come to this table as well and celebrate his great love, his great inclusion. So let's worship and let's celebrate together.